making the scriptures our theme, and speaking about the Word of God, the Bible, the scriptures. And I was drawn to a passage I'd like you to open to, the 24th chapter of Luke. We learn something about the scriptures, how Jesus wants his disciples to relate to the scriptures and how he related to the scriptures. It was a great day of joy and triumph. Luke 24 describes the resurrection of Jesus. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Well, you might think this was a day of great joy and rejoicing, and of course it was, and it has been for Christians throughout the centuries. Jesus is alive. Jesus is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, and that makes all the difference to us. He was delivered to death for our offenses and raised again for our justification. But up to this point anyway, they had heard the message, the women had heard the message, but no one had seen the Lord. And there were some that were very sad that day. They should have been rejoicing. The one thing I wonder about these two disciples, ever since I was a little kid and heard the stories, why didn't they stay around and find out, you know, what happened? And then they wouldn't have had to be so down. But it says this: now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. Verse 13, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. They were surely talking about the sadness that filled their hearts because Jesus died. They didn't know about the resurrection. Well, Jesus comes along and asks them a couple questions, and they pour out their hearts to him. And then we find out what was really troubling them. But they were disconsolate. As we say, "Come ye disconsolate." They were disconsolate. They were troubled, sorely distressed. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. So just out of the shadows, somehow Jesus comes along. It says they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. So these two questions. You know, what is it that you're discussing together? In the King James it says, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Well, that's the same thing. He saw that they were sad. You could see that all over them. "What is it that you're talking about?" "Well, don't you know? Did you just show up? Now, everybody knows what's been going on back there at Jerusalem. He says, what things? And then they tell him about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Okay, so these two men are walking along, going back to their place at Emmaus, a 7-mile journey. And they're talking about the things they had experienced. Jesus comes along. And what is it? Why are you sad? Don't you know what's been going on? What's been going on? Well, it's about Jesus. And they tell the story. They pour out their hearts to him and tell why they are so downcast. Well, they had some hopes that were dashed. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people, and our rulers, religious leaders, handed him over to be sentenced to death. He was crucified, and he was the one that we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. See, that's what they were expecting. Redeem Israel means that there would be a deliverance from Roman occupation, that oppression. They wanted a deliverer to come who would deliver them. And we had hoped that this would happen, and he wasn't that kind of a deliverer at all. It wasn't anything like that at all. All the way through, this is what we had hoped. And he sure was a great man. He was a prophet. He was mighty in word and deed. But he never did anything that made us think that he had that in his mind or heart. But we had hope. That's the way we understand the work of the Messiah. We understand that part of this is for him to restore Israel to its former glory and to free us from the Roman occupation. We had hoped that he was the one, but instead he died. We thought he would never die. How could he die, a man like this? And it's the third day since all this took place. And so they're very sad. They don't know that Jesus is risen from the dead. They have no hope of the resurrection. They're just sad. And then Jesus speaks to them. And it's this part that I just want to bring out. And the importance of the scriptures in Jesus' life. We can find that in many places in the Bible, but this is just the one that I was drawn to for tonight. Jesus said, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." How foolish you are, verse 25, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So apparently he had some time, 7-mile journey. I wouldn't guess they were walking too fast. If they were walking full speed, it would have taken 2 hours, but they probably took their time. They were sad, don't forget. And then they were speaking together. So it probably was a rather long walk. And Jesus had time to teach them some things about the scriptures. Remember, they still didn't know him. They didn't recognize who he was, but how foolish you are. And how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, how it was that they didn't recognize him, the Bible tells us that they were kept from recognizing him. or in the King James Version again, it says that their eyes were, what does it say? It's an interesting word there. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Well, it means that they didn't recognize him, and it was meant to be that way. And he taught them from the scriptures, the writings of Moses and of the prophets. And remember, Jesus had said when he was teaching the people that these scriptures testify of me. And so I believe this question or this statement, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, includes in it the idea that they should have known. They didn't know the scripture. They had opportunity because Jesus had taught them over a good long time. We don't know how long these two disciples were with Jesus, but they had been under his teaching, and they had had opportunity to know more than they knew. And it seems as though he's a little surprised with them that they hadn't grasped it. They didn't know the scriptures. Jesus wants us to know our Bibles. That's the first point that comes out here to me. Jesus wants us to know the Bibles, our Bible and the scriptures, to be good students and well acquainted with the Word of God, especially given the opportunities that are ours. I think that comes across here. These people should have known. These two should have known. What he says, that Christ had to suffer these things and to then enter his glory, they should have known, and they should have believed. See, it says, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All that the prophets have spoken. And then it goes, the next verse we already read, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Later on, when he goes to the upper room and appears to his disciples, same chapter, verse 44, everything that is fulfilled, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Here he adds the Psalms. All of the Old Testament scriptures testify of me. The Psalms speak of Christ. The prophets foretold Christ, and the law of Moses also, in so many ways, pointed forward to him. But he says to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I think that's another thing that we find here. Jesus wants his disciples, Jesus wants us as his disciples, to believe all the scriptures. How many people who call themselves Christians selectively believe some of the scriptures? Jesus says, I want you to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All the scriptures are given by God. We had yesterday, God breathed out by God. You believe all. Don't pick and choose. Believe all that the prophets have spoken. Yes, we read that the natural mind doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. And some of these things, even this one, that Christ has to suffer, that this is the way to glory for all of us. To enter into glory, we have to lose our own lives. Then we find the Lord and we find life eternal, so on. Who would think these things except as they are enlightened by God? But to believe with our hearts, and then also I think in this verse it has to do with obedience, because it says slow of heart. Here is the center of our will, the place where we obey, the decisive center. And they were sluggish in heart. to follow on, to believe what they read in the scriptures and had learned from him. We sang this morning, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. These men were disconsolate. They were so sad. On a day of such triumph and rejoicing, he found them so sad because they hadn't listened to him carefully. They didn't know what he expected them to know, and they didn't believe all that he had taught them and all that the prophets had spoken, and they weren't following on in obedience. They were slow of heart. And so he taught them from the scriptures about himself. And you know how the story goes. It's a wonderful story. When they came to the village in which to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? While he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened to them on the way, how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. What a wonderful day this was. I mean, such a great day of rejoicing. Well, that's the way it ended up for the 11 and for these two after they recognized Jesus. But Jesus tells us something else here about the scriptures, aside from that we ought to know them, especially given the opportunities that we have had, having this book so readily available to us. And that we ought to believe all of it and commit ourselves to understanding and knowing everything. And of course, light comes to those who obey. Didn't Jesus say, if any man will obey me, he shall know the teaching? But Jesus said something else about this, about the scripture and how it applied to him. He said that he was the servant of Scripture. You find that Scripture is fulfilled in Christ. You say, no, he's the servant of his Father, who said, behold, my servant. You have the servant songs in Isaiah. And he is the servant of the Lord. But he's also the servant of Scripture. And it really is the same thing. I come to do your will. Your law is in my heart. You're my Father, I'm your Son, and I delight to do your will. My meat is to do your will, and whatever you have sent me to do, I want to finish that. I want to glorify you. And on the cross, too, when Jesus knew that everything was accomplished, he said, I thirst. Why did he say that? Because he was thinking of himself last, some people say. But it seems, when you read it, that he said that because he was going over the scriptures concerning him. And that was one of them. And everything was to be fulfilled. He said that in the Sermon on the Mount, in the fifth chapter of Matthew, you read, Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. There are other such, maybe not quite like this, but other such statements and indications that Jesus made himself the servant of Scripture because he must obey the Father's will. He submitted himself to the eternal purpose as it is disclosed here in God's inspired Word. He also is the theme of Scripture. And that has come out several times, as we've mentioned this. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He taught them from the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me. So he is Scripture's theme, as well as its servant and its fulfillment. The Lord Jesus was so careful about the scripture. He wanted his disciples to know and to believe all and to obey and recognize him as the servant of scripture, as the theme of scripture, but also as the interpreter. He interpreted the scripture. And he does that for us today too. Through the wonderful working of the Holy Spirit, Christ opens up our understanding. He opens our minds that we might understand the Scriptures and receive him as we read, as we understand, as the Holy Spirit makes this Word alive to our hearts. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And when we come together and we take a passage of Scripture and it is opened up to us, the Holy Spirit wants us to listen. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us to have these ears. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. What the Holy Spirit is saying to you. What he is saying to you about Jesus. But Jesus is interpreting the Scripture as he did to these disciples. And it ought to be that we have the same experience. Their eyes were opened. They understood the Scriptures, and then they looked back. We were walking along the way. We didn't recognize him. But how did you feel? They kind of compared notes. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't our hearts burn within us? While he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us. Now when Jesus opens the Scriptures to us and the Holy Spirit does his gracious work, there ought to be conviction. There ought to be light. There ought to be a mighty drawing to Jesus. And our hearts should burn. Have you ever had that experience as you took your Bible and you read this, and maybe you said, Holy Spirit, read this to me. Help me to get out of this passage what you want me to have. Won't you interpret this word to me? And then help me to receive it humbly and in faith as from you. Lord Jesus, speak to me today. And when you went to meeting, you prayed for the pastor that as he would open the Word of God, your heart would be touched. Your heart would be moved. There would be conviction for sin. There would be the light of God's truth penetrating your mind and your heart so that you might know Jesus. And then also that he would, as he is exalted in this word, that he would draw you mightily to himself. Did not our hearts burn within us? How we shortchange ourselves when we neglect the scriptures and when we fail to see how precious they are. And that they are to be known, and the Spirit of God will teach us, and that they are to be believed in their entirety, and they are to be obeyed. Oh Lord, don't let us be sluggish, don't let us be slow of heart, but help us to take your word and all of it, help us to see you in it. Let our hearts burn. And come to us. Here's the bread of life. Didn't we just sing, here, see the bread of life. See waters flowing forth from the throne of God, pure from above. Here's a feast of love to come to. If you're disconsolate, maybe it's a happy day for someone else, and for you it's a distressing day, or you've become disconsolate for some reason. Maybe some family issue has been brought to your attention and your heart has been downcast, or some other difficulty has come into your life. Maybe you have been your worst enemy today, shall we say. We've met the enemy and it is us, right? maybe for some reason you're disconsolate today. Here Jesus comes to you as he did to these disciples. I love thinking that Jesus came to them just because, and I know it's true, just because of their need. And just because he wanted them to know him, just wanted that so badly. His desire for them was so great, just as his desire for you is so great tonight. And whether you're distressed about something or disconsolate about something or not, he still wants us as his disciples to take his words to heart, to recognize that these words are spirit and life, life-giving, life-changing words that make our hearts burn within us as he speaks to us along the way, expounding the scriptures. Now, Lord, take these simple words, and could you, by the Holy Ghost, translate them into a call that will just say, come unto me, come, come. Take my words to heart. Study my word, know my word, believe my word, obey my word. And find that as I become your teacher, your heart will burn. And I will give you a hope that you didn't know before. And I will give you an experience of the manifestation of my very life. Dear Lord, I pray tonight that you will bless each one of us here tonight. And help us to really experience you in your word. You break the bread of life to us and help us to know you, recognize you in all your holiness, in all your majesty, in all your beauty, in all your grace, in all your glory. Oh Lord, I pray that you will just work in our hearts an appreciation and a love for your precious word. And Lord, we know that we need the conviction, and we need the light, and we need the drawing, and we need to be changed by your power. These disciples who should have been much farther along, it seems they surprised even Jesus by the way they were so dense. Oh Lord, don't let us be like that, but let us just take your word to heart and give us a great longing and desire for you to fulfill all of your purposes in us. Fulfill all your gracious promises. Accomplish your will and your desire in our lives and in our midst. For the glory of your name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.